Heavenly Father, we pray you this morning. Thank you for being the head of our life, the head of our home, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation we have, because you are indeed the one true and living God. Lord, your humble servants and your children are here to listen from you. We know your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, speak a word this morning because your servants are listening. Come with the Holy Spirit and imbibe with us. Come with the Holy Spirit and fill me so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you. So when we leave this place, we will go with the knowledge that you will never leave us, neither forsake us, but we'll continue to propagate your word that Christ is King of our lives. Be with us this morning, for in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you were here last week, we started off a series titled Life of an Authentic Witness. We spoke from the book of Judges. We started off with chapter 15 right on to, started off with chapter 13 right up to chapter 15. And we spoke about the life of Samson. Today we're actually not chilling with the big boys. Today we are chilling with the slay queen. We spoke about things that happened in the life of Samson, and we mentioned things that as disciples that we need to discern the signs and pick out the red flags when we during our walk with Christ so we would not fall into these traps. We spoke about things that Samson failed to pick up, that when he prioritized his feelings over the facts that God told them what to do and what not to do, and he allowed his ego to actually get over his assignment. And lastly, we spoke about how what God had delivered him from, he went back to it. And so we designed all the signs last week, and we spoke about all the things and the time when he left that Samson became the wanted man that they were hunting for him. Now this morning, we'll go into the final part of the series, and we look into what happened with Samson that ultimately cost his life. And when he went into another relationship, this time with a sister by the name of Delilah. So I'll invite you all to open your Bibles again to the book of Judges and go to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, if you can navigate your way from verse 16 on to verse 20, and then we can read verse 28. And if you're physically able, I'll invite you all to be standing on your feet so together we can reverence the reading of God's holy word. Judges chapter 16, beginning to read from verse 15 right on to 20 and then 28. If you're there, say amen. And he said unto her, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and thou hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she had pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there had not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once, for he had showed me with all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wits not know that this Lord has departed from him. Drop down to verse 28. Verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen thee, me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Amen. Before you take your seat, just look at the next person and say with all conviction of affirmation and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, the Lord is the source of my strength. You may be seated in the presence of God. The Lord is the source of my strength. Sometime last year, I preached a sermon when we had the budget service about reasons to give. And I mentioned something which is very funny about my nephew, Denzel, that he only calls me when it's time for his birthday. Well, a few weeks ago, he turned 17, and he did the same thing. He only calls me when it's time for his birthday. I spent a month with him over Christmas, and I began to know that now he's growing from that child to becoming a man. Next year, he will be 18. And I've noticed certain things about him growing up, that he's everybody's man. He's always surrounded by people. And so he looks at me as a father figure, and because our family is female dominated, we don't have many men. So he looks at me as a father figure. And so I realized when he turned 17, after I saw all the pictures from the birthday, that I need to start giving some few tips. I need to start giving him some coaching to be a good man. I need to start giving him some coaching to be a good Christian man. I need to start giving him some coaching to be a good black Christian man. And one of the things that a good black Christian man should know is how to treat your woman. I expect a female answer to that. Say amen. What's your problem? What's wrong with you? We just celebrated Women's Day, International Women's Day. And one thing a Christian man should know, we should know how to treat our women. Good, that's it. Because a good black Christian man should know a few things about going out with women. A few things like how you open doors for women, how you should not lift your hand on a woman. No, a good black Christian man doesn't lay a hand on a woman. And when you go out, even when you take your woman out on a date, there are a few things that you need to know. That you have to know what she likes to eat so that you can put in the order for her. Because a good black Christian man knows that you cannot allow a stranger to talk to your woman. You come to me, I'll give you some few tips. So you have to discern certain things that you need to know about your woman. And you see, because there are some weaknesses that we have in life. And other thing that I noticed that is his monthly report card when he comes, I don't look at the grade that he gets. What I look at is the remarks that is written by the teacher. And most of the remarks that are written by the teacher says that he is weak in mathematics. He is weak in mathematics. And one thing I've realized is that if you know in school that if you are weak in one area and don't try to sort it out, it will affect your other grades. If you are weak in one area, it will affect your other grades. You are slow this morning if you think I'm still talking about Denzel. No, I'm not talking about Denzel. I'm talking about life. Life will put you in a place that if you are weak in certain area, it will affect your area of judgment. It will affect how you perceive things in life. And our brother Samson had a weakness, and his weakness was dealing with women. And because he was weak dealing with women, it affected other areas of his life. Samson, as we know, was the strongest man that lived in the Bible. But for all Samson's strongness, he was weak. Samson killed a lion with his bare hands without breaking sweat. Samson killed men of Ashkelon without breaking sweat. Samson killed 1,000 Philistine soldiers with the jaw of a bone of a donkey. But for all his strength, for all Samson's strength, all the men, all the armies of the Philistine could not take him down. All it took was one sister to take him down. There's got to be a sisterly amen there, because we all know that what a man cannot do, a woman can do. Amen? Don't worry, this is women's service. So, I mean, let's give them, guys, what a man cannot do, a woman can do. So we get to this part where I told you last week, Samson was a Nazarite. Let the church say Nazarite. Nazarite. And the scripture does not tell us exactly who a Nazarite is. But if you read in Numbers chapter 6, it gives you the restrictions of a Nazarite, which I want you to pay attention. The three main restrictions of a Nazarite is, number one, no alcohol. Let the church say no alcohol. No alcohol. Number two, no touching of dead things. Number three, no cutting of hair. I want to make sure you catch this properly because there's going to be a pop quiz during the sermon. No alcohol, no Primus, no Castel, no JB, no Chardonnay, no Baileys. Have I called yours yet? Just look at somebody and say, thank God I'm not a Nazarite. Nothing should come to him. No alcohol, no touching of dead things, no cutting of the hair. But by the time we get to Judges chapter 16, Samson had moved. He was a man on the run. His life was being hunted. His life was being hunted by the Philistines for what he did in the previous chapters when he burnt all their crops. They were trying to kill him. Samson did not learn his lesson. At the start of chapter 16, he slept with a prostitute that almost cost his life. And he ran away and then went and met this fine sister by the name of Delilah. I told you last week about Delilah. Let me add one more. Delilah and Jezebel are two names that you don't give your daughter. He met this lady by the name of Delilah. Now, you see, we've been taught over the years about Delilah that she betrayed Samson. But, you know, looking at putting it into perspective, Delilah did what any man or woman would do to survive. The scripture does not tell us a background, but we can assume from reading it that Delilah tried to make ends meet. So the lords of the Philistine, five of them, showed up to Delilah and said, hey, all we need you to do is to tell us the secret of Samson's strength. Not to kill him. We just want to know, where is he getting this strength from? And we will each give you 11 shekels of silver. We'll give each give you 1,100 shekels or pieces of silver. Now, Judges 17, the next chapter, tells us that a year's wage is 10 shekels of silver. And so they promised her 1,100 pieces of silver each. Now, if you do the math, that's 5,500 pieces of silver for a whole year of a period of 110 years. Biblical scholars put it at modern day currency, that is $8.5 million, just to tell them what Samson's strength is. When I was doing this sermon, I asked my friends at work, I said, if they give you $8.5 million to betray your wife, what will you do? One of them looked at me. I said, I'll betray the wife, I'll betray the father, I'll betray the mother, I'll betray the children. So when we look, she was rich, not to kill him, not to kill the lover, just to tell him the secret of Samson's strength. So she went to work and pulled all the tricks that a woman knows how to do to get a man to succumb. So the question we ask ourselves here as we unpack this scripture, we unpack the message, we unpack it, says, Delilah, all she did was to play on Samson's weakness. And so, as disciples of Christ, a weakness is something that we have to take serious, because if we do not take it serious, it will affect our witness, it will affect how we propagate the gospel, it will affect everything we do in the Christ, because if you are weak, you cannot make a judgment. And being a pastor, being an elder, being a leader in a congregation, there are certain times you have to look the devil in the eye and say, no. No is no. So how do we get over all these weaknesses? What does Samson didn't do that we should take note of, so that when we move to a season, we will know what to do? Number one, first point number one. Where is my slide? Do not be blinded by emotions. Do not be blinded by emotions. Samson lied to Delilah three times. She said, babe, what's the source of your strength? And he said, if you tie me with 7 bowstrings. Babe, what's the source of your strength? if you tie me with new ropes. Babe, what's the source of your strength? If you braid my hair. And for 3 times, he lied to her. But the thing is, every time he tells her, something happens. He said, babe, what's the source of your strength? If you tie me with 7 bowstrings. He goes to sleep. He wakes up. He's tied with 7 bowstrings. And the Philistines are outside. Babe, what's the source of your strength? If you tie me with new ropes. He goes to sleep. He wakes up. He's tied with new ropes. The Philistines are outside. Babe, what's the source of your strength? If you braid my hair. He goes to sleep. He wakes up. His hair is braided. And the Philistines are outside. Now the question I want to ask Samson, or the Samsons of this world. Don't you know by now that this woman cannot be trusted? Wouldn't you have figured it by now that this woman is trying to take you out? Because every time you tell her, something happens. So why is it that Samson eventually told her? And that's not the case. Even in the previous chapter, his first wife has already betrayed him, doing the same thing when he gave her the question to the riddle. And she told them. Wouldn't Samson have known by now that these women cannot be trusted? But yet, he goes on and tells her the source of his strength. Question you ask yourself is, why? Because he was blinded by emotions. And she used what every woman knows how to do. Babe, for 3 times now you've lied to me. It's because you don't love me. Because if you love me, you will tell me the truth. Last week, I told you that whenever a woman comes to you and starts a sentence that, if you love me, you will tell me, it's not going to end out well. Babe, how much money you have in the bank? Why should I tell you that? I'm your wife. I have to know what you know. I'm your wife. Tell me. Well, I have like $50,000 in the bank. Okay. After 2 weeks, they are going. Babe, the kid has grown. The other one will start school next week. And maybe I need my own car so that I can be taking them back and forth. Say, oh, well, yeah, nah. I don't have money for that now. All that $50,000 you have in the bank, can't use it? You know that there's always something when they start the sentence with, if you love me. Babe, what is the source of your strength? And this is how temptation never stops. The Bible tells us that she poached him every single day. Day after day, she was after him. Babe, what's the source of your strength? And the Bible tells that until Samson was vexed, he was annoyed. And that's a point as Christians we have to take note. Because temptation doesn't come once. It will come one, it will come a day, it will come tomorrow, it will go on and on and on in your life until one day you might sleep. That's how a thief operates. A thief comes to your house and opens the door, it's locked. The next day they will come again, they open, it's locked. The next day they will try again, every like a routine until one day. In my country we say you slept on your wing. You slept on your wing and then they will hit you. That's how the temptation is. Day after day, she perceived until Samson was vexed and annoyed and told her, baby, the secret of my hair, my secret of my strength is in my hair. My hair has never been cut. My hair has never been shaved. So the question that we move into it, like all she did was she put him in touch with his feelings. He put him in touch with his feelings. Dr. Abel is not here. A few weeks ago, we learned from Dr. Abel that never ever trust your heart. I know this is what we always advise people, follow your heart. Follow your heart. Your heart is where your emotion is. Follow your heart. But may I remind you in Jeremiah 17 that it tells you the heart is a deceptive tool. What the heart can tell you is not always correspond to the fact. And this is the reason why God never spoke to anybody through their emotions. God can speak to you through his word. God can speak to you through his sermon. God can speak to you through signs and wonders. God can speak to you through a person. But God, nowhere in the Bible where it says God spoke to you through your emotions. Why? Because your emotions, Dr. Abel is there. Your emotions is a deceptive tool that can lead you astray.
God speaks to us. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:5-6, that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge thee, and he will guide and direct your path. Amen? Do not trust in your emotions. Number two, do not confuse your source with your resource. Let's say that together. Do not confuse your source with your resource. Babe, what is the source of your strength? My hair. Now, the Bible tells us that Samson judged Israel for 20 years. So if you put that period with the judge from the time when he grew up, you will say that, so Samson was about in his 30s, okay? Now, a 30-year-old man whose hair has never been cut, whose hair has never been shaved, that's a lot of hair. That is a lot of hair. So when I saw the text, I've been wondering, what did she do to him that she puts him to sleep on her lap? And the Bible says another man comes into the room and shaves her off 30 years of hair, and he didn't even wake up. Somebody say, we'll talk that outside. I want to keep it PG-13. We'll talk that outside. What did she do to him? It's not even clippers. It's not scissors. Those times it was razor. Razor. He's sleeping and they cut off his 30 years without even knowing. Ladies, you can attest that even when you go to the saloon and you ask the guy or the lady to actually trim a little hair, without even looking at the mirror, you know when he or she is cut too much. You can feel it. Guys who have bushy hairs, if you said, I want to go from 2.5 to 1.5, and then they end up going to 0.2, you can feel it. Because the breeze that comes to your head, you can know that the guy has already cut too much. So for 30 years worth of hair, and they cut him, and he's still sleeping, and he doesn't even wake up. What did she put on him that he could not wake up? Because the truth of the matter is, Samson was deceptive to the fact of his source. Samson wakes up eventually and recognizes his hair has been cut, and he said this, I will go out as I've always done and shake myself free. But the scripture tells us that he did not know that the Lord has left him. Beloved, that is a sad indictment for God to leave you. But it's even sadder that you do not even know it. David in Psalm 51 prayed, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because David recognizes, without God, we are nothing. Without God, we are nothing. Samson thought that the strength was from his hair, so he went out to fight. So the question you will ask yourself, if he thought that his strength was in his hair and his hair is gone, why did he go out fighting? The truth is, his strength had nothing to do with his hair. I know that will challenge you because that's what we've been taught. But let me prove it to you biblically. Number one, remember, Samson was a Nazarite. I told you there will be a pop quiz. What are the conditions or the restrictions of a Nazarite? Number one, no alcohol. Number two, no touching of dead things. Number three, clap for yourself. You are good students. You are good students. Now, before Samson met Delilah, he had already violated two of those restrictions. Number one, he went to a wedding. And you know, in the biblical days, weddings and wine go together. Remember Jesus' first miracle? When the wine ran out, there had to be wine at the wedding. Number two, he killed a lion and left the lion, and so that honey can come in, and they form nectar and honey. And he scooped the honey and he ate it and gave to his parents. And the scripture tells us he did not tell his parents what he had done. That's number two. That's my first point. Second point, Samson was strong. Samson was strong and mighty. God gave him some all kinds of power. But there's something that you sometimes miss when you read the scripture. The Bible tells us for the three times Samson used his strength, it's preceded by a verse. And the Spirit of the Lord descended mightily upon him. Judges 14:6, he killed a lion. Read it when you go home.
and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him. Judges 14:19, he killed the men of Ashkelon, and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him. Judges 15:14, before he killed 1,000 men, he tells us, and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him. And when his hair was gone, and the Spirit of the Lord left him. The Spirit left him. And the last part is, if you think that his hair, the strength was from his hair, then it violates what the Bible teaches, because the Bible tells us we do not put our trust in things, because things will let you down. You do not put your, things are the resource. Things are the resource. Your source is you know. Things are the resource. So Samson's strength could not be on his hair, because when he put his strength on his hair, when it's caught, his strength left him. Because that's what you thought. And this is why sometimes we get into trouble, because we mix our source with our resource. You think that your job made you strong. You think that you're powerful because you have a political connection. You think that you can do any kind of thing because you are beautiful. Baby boy, baby girl, time matters. When time changes, these things would leave you. When time ends, all these things will go away. But I know one thing, that if you put your faith and trust in it, that source will never leave you, will never forsake you, will go in out in your coming. That source will always leave you. And the name of that source is not your job here. It's not your gyre here. It's not your career collection. It's not any of your political connection, but it's called Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides your resource. The God who provides your resource. The car you drive is God who provides it. The beautiful children you have is God who provides it. So when you look at all the things around you, you look at your resource, you can only say, it's God who provides it. Not by my might, not by my strength, but by the Spirit of God who descends on me and gives me the strength to provide my resource. And so God is my only source. God is my only source. So beloved, do not confuse your resource with your source. And this is why Jesus says, you cannot trust two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Because when you serve two masters, what happens? God takes a step back. Because if you serve two masters, your loyalty will lie with one. And the tendency is always with your resource. And your resource will always fail you. But God will never fail you. Amen? God will never fail you. You need that source in you, because the Bible said in Philippians that I can do all things in Christ who gives me that strength to move forward from day to day, from strength to strength. Amen? 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 So do not confuse. Do not be blinded by your emotions. Do not confuse your source with your resource. And my last point before I go, it's never too late to pray. Somebody needs to say an amen to that one. It's never too late to pray. It's never too late to pray. I know sometimes as preachers, as pastors, as reverends, as priests, we sometimes tell our congregation that, oh, you're only praying when you need God. You're only praying when you're in trouble. But the truth of the matter is, God didn't put a restriction when to pray. He asked us to pray, call upon me all the time. Anytime you call upon God, God is willing to answer. Anytime you call upon God, God is ready. He's always there waiting for you to answer. I had a sister friend. She used to come to this church. And every time, she always had a bad reputation. People would talk about her. People will blast her. If she dresses up, oh, she dresses too much. If she dances, oh, she dances too much. Anything about her, people will be complaining, talking about her. She got fed up and she quit. She quit the job and she went home. She disappeared for a few months and years, and then she showed up. By the time she showed up, she had gotten married. By the time she showed up, she had a baby. And she posted it on Facebook and I saw it. Say, you've been talking about me. You've been saying all kinds of me. You want to know my secret? I pray. Did you turn my mic off? You want to know the secret of my strength? I pray. Because prayer can change anything. Prayer changes anything. Prayer can change anybody's life, because prayer still works. For some of us who grew up in Christian homes, we can know that our parents taught us that
Before you even put a meal in your mouth, you need to pray. In school, Christian school, we were taught, before you go out for lunch, you need to pray. And we need to pray this prayer. God be in my head. No, we need to pray one prayer, which I like very much. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. And it's still when we go home, they say you cannot lie on that bed without even praying to God. And we have the favorite prayer that we always sing. This night, when I lie down to sleep, I give the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. In my little bed I lie, Heavenly Father, hear my prayer. God protect me through this night. Keep me safe till morning light. And the Americans added their own version. Bless my mother, bless my father, bless my papa, bless my brother, bless my sister, bless my pastor, bless my priest. Amen. If it works for you when you are 12, it can still work for you when you are 21. If it works for you when you are 15, it can still work for you when you are 51. It works for you when you are 17, it can still work for you because prayer still works. It's never too late to pray. It's never too late to pray. When you are afflicted, when you are bounded, go down on your knees and call upon the name of the Lord. And God is ready to receive you. The Bible tells us that if my people could humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I in heaven will hear them, forgive their sins, and heal their land. If that doesn't work for you, turn to James. He said, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. When it's good, keep knocking. When it's bad, keep knocking. Every time, keep knocking. In good times, in bad times, God never puts a restriction that we need to pray. And a Christian without a proper Christian prayer life is like having an expensive car with no fuel. It's like having an expensive car with no fuel. You are going on a journey and you don't have enough fuel, you break down on the road and they have to push you. And that's why some of the Christians you see, they are struggling. But if you examine their lives properly, they need to have a constant prayer life so that they can be able to move, because prayer is the thing that you communicate with God. Samson was there now. His lover had betrayed him. His eyes had been plucked out. He had nothing left. Then the scripture tells us he remembered and he prayed to God. God, remember me. God, remember me. I've not always done what you say I should do, but at this moment, Lord, remember me. If you listen to when Pastor David always prays, he always says that God will remember you as he remembered Hannah. God will remember you as he remembered the children of Israel. God will remember you as you are afflicted. It's never too late to pray. All you need to do is just call upon the holy name. Call upon his name. Call upon him and he will answer. Call upon him and he will answer. We have no other God but him. A hymn that we used to sing. He says, Father, I stretch my hands to you. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Shall we all stand? Call upon the name of God. Let me be prophetic this morning. In this new season of our lives, I don't know what the devil has stole for you. I don't know what the devil has stolen from you. But I prophesy over your lives that you are going to reap a sevenfold blessing in Jesus' name. All what the devil has stolen from you, you will reap in Jesus' name. You will reap a sevenfold blessing in Jesus' name. You will reap a sevenfold healing in Jesus' name. You have been sick, call upon him. You need him, call upon him. Anything you want in this life, don't put a restriction in God. God is always willing. It's never too late to pray. I don't know what your circumstances this hour. I don't know what you've been going through this hour, but you need to just call upon the name of God. Choir, if you can come forward. You need to just call upon the name of God. We need to call upon the name of God because God is always there to remember you. He remembers you when you pray. He remembers you when you pray. He remembers you when you call upon him. Just lift up your hands and praise him. Just say a word to him. Just say a word this morning. Just pray this morning. And as I told you last week, it's never too late to give your life to Christ. It's never too late to give your life to Christ. Whatever you've done and done amiss is always there waiting for you to just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you in my life. Lord, I need you. You've been waiting for this moment too long ago. Now is the time for you. If you need Christ in your life to turn things around, just declare that, Lord, in your presence, Jesus, come into my life this hour. You move from one place to place, not knowing where to go. But Jesus is there waiting for you right now. Now it's your time. Now it's your moment. It's all the part that matters right now. It's now to give your life. Hallelujah.
As I see you face to face,
surrounded by your love,
I found
a place to be, and that's resting in you, Jesus.
I found a place of grace, wrapped in your embrace.
I need you to embrace me this hour. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where shall I go? In your presence, Lord, I need you this hour. It's such a relief to know that you are here with me. You will never leave me, neither forsake me. Father, in your presence there's fullness of joy. So I don't want to leave ever. I don't want to ever leave your presence. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I may have been lost, but with you I know I'm being found. That's why I will rejoice, because all what the devil has stolen from me, I will claim it back in Jesus' name. All what the devil has taken from me all these years, it's time to reap back in Jesus' name. And I will come back rejoicing and giving you praise and glory all the days of my life, because I don't want to ever leave your presence. I don't want your presence to ever leave me. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your servants. Be with them and continue to fulfill their lives and to make them be fulfilling their potential and to make them declare that, yes, Lord, you are the source of their strength. You are the strength of their life. And when we leave this place, we'll be revived, knowing that some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in you, O God, because you are the source of our strength. Thank you, Father, and continue to be with us as we leave this place to go on and make ministers of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Amen.